I think this is the day that people, it's really funny, our two fullest services are second and third, and usually starts light, but by the end of about this time, this is full, and but because it's a national holiday, I think a lot of people switch to first from third, which is awesome and fine, but what I want to do is something a little bit different. Since I was asking the Lord, okay, so we have a little bit smaller crowd today, what can we do that's like, and he was like, just enjoy each other. So before we dive into what God wants to say, what I want to ask you to do is, if everybody would get up, not yet, but when I say go, and find a couple people that you really don't know well, and just introduce yourself and tell them your Super Bowl plans, if you have any. Okay? And then if we could reconvene more toward the front. If we're smaller, let's hang out together. I might just bring a stool down here and we talk from up here. We're going to have worship at the end with Haven. Incredible worship. So God's coming in this service and in this time together. So let's not miss that. But let's take a second. Just go say hello to somebody you don't know. Tell them your Super Bowl plans and then I'll pull us back together in a minute, okay? Everybody up. Go visit. Challenge to you is, if you're normally a back row person, if you normally stay in the back, I want to challenge you to sit way up front. Okay? So that's the challenge. If you are normally a way up front person, I want to challenge you to be a way up front person. Okay? So, come on up. We're going to reconvene here. And kind of kick off. So... All right, let's grab a seat, and right on, you're a good-looking bunch. Welcome, brother. Dude, you were so good last night. How many of you went and saw the Beauty and the Beast? These guys. I mean, my favorite part was when Lumiere was doing this. That was just so fun. Of course, when my daughter sang, I liked that better, but... that was not funny, but it was supposed to be. you guys were all awesome. It was really, really, really good. Do you know when the next showing is?
Monday or Tuesday.
We don't know if it's Monday or Tuesday. Okay. It's at the high school, Monroe High. I don't know how we're going to know. How can we get the word out? Okay, so when we know if it's Monday or Tuesday, I guess look at Facebook. What Facebook? Which account?
Lexi Faust's status.
Lexi Faust's status. Okay, that's it. So you will post it, apparently. All right. Hey, this morning I want to start off with a little Bible quiz. You guys ever have a little vacation? You ever been a part of like Sunday school and they did Bible quizzes? You're a little kid, maybe? Let's see how biblically literate you are. Who was the greatest prophet in all of the Old Testament? Of all the great prophets, got to raise your hand because this is like a real legitimate quiz with prizes. Okay, so of all the great prophets of all through the Old Testament, who was the greatest one? I'm going to go over here with Mr. Faust. John, were you, because you were here before? John the Baptist, but you don't get a prize now. Oh, no, I'll give you a $5 gift certificate to Starbucks. Someday. Anyway, for your birthday. it's John the Baptist. Did you know that? Jesus said it. Yeah, actually, Matthew 11, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. And then two verses from then he says, all of the prophets from the entire Old Testament line up, and he is the Elijah. He is the greatest and the last. He is the Elijah that was to come. So he is actually considered an Old Testament prophet. But what's interesting about that is John wasn't. He really didn't seem like anything special. I mean, you take Elijah, right, and the dude like fries the 400 priests of Baal. I mean, we're talking major miracles going on. John doesn't really have any miracles. And then some of these other guys, like Daniel, like he's telling the future. He's going to say, this is what's going to happen in Greece, and this is what's going to happen in Rome, and on and on. Here's the future of mankind, and he's lining all this stuff. And John doesn't really do a lot of future telling stuff. He doesn't have all that flash and pizzazz, but the one who knows everything, who sees everything, says he's the greatest of all the prophets. And then one of the most powerful truths in all of Christianity, Jesus says next. And it's a truth that I believe all hell has made its priority, keeping us from realizing this next statement that's going up on the board. Okay, that Jesus says. He says this. He says, yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. How could that be? If John's the greatest of all the Old Testament prophets, these workers of miracles that do all this stuff, how could the least in the kingdom of heaven, which is the church, how could the least be greater than John? Because the kingdom of heaven, the new covenant, is that much greater than the old covenant. I agree. I think it's wrapped up in, yes, and some specifics that go along with it that John the Baptist mentions in Matthew 3. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The least in the kingdom of heaven had something that John didn't. In fact, so much so that a couple verses later, Jesus comes from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John, but John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. I need the baptism that you're offering. You don't need the baptism I'm offering. Now, one of the Old Testament prophets, not even John, had what was about to be offered to the least of all the saints, to you and me. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, makes available a lifestyle that John did not even, not even John had access to. Bowlers know that there's a difference between an ultimate goal and an immediate goal. An ultimate target and an immediate target. Okay? So, success in the immediate goal makes it possible to reach the ultimate goal, and bowlers will aim at a marker down the lane. Have you guys ever bowled? You know, they'll aim at a marker down the lane, that they'll make that their immediate target, but they receive no points for hitting it. They only receive points when they hit the ultimate target, right? The pins at the end of the lane. Salvation is not the ultimate goal of Christ's coming. His ultimate goal is not to save you. It's an immediate goal. It's an immediate target. His ultimate goal is, God's ultimate goal is that each believer would overflow with himself. That hit with his love, with his power, with his heart, with his boldness, which happens only through the filling of the Holy Spirit. Paul says in Ephesians 3, I pray out of his glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit. So the Spirit strengthens you with power for something, okay, in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints. So it's again this power. The Spirit fills you with this power. It's filling you with this power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. God's goal is to fill you, each believer, with His Holy Spirit. His goal is that you would be filled to the fullness of God through the filling of His Holy Spirit. Okay? And the movement of the Holy Spirit, according to this passage, is... I'm going to block you, sorry. I need to come up here a little bit for this. The Holy Spirit comes, and He strengthens you with power, right, in your inner being. It says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power again, together with all the saints. What's the Holy Spirit giving you the power to do? What's the first thing that, according to this, that the Holy Spirit, there's a verb in there, that He's giving you, like the Holy Spirit enables you, empowers you to do this? What is it? That's coming. That's coming, but just power to grasp something. Grasp what? The height, the depth, the breadth of Christ's love for who? For you. It's one thing to know that He loves you. It's a completely different thing to grasp it. It requires a work of the Holy Spirit for you to grasp how much He loves you. You can't think your way there. In fact, it says, to know this love that surpasses knowledge... We need to grasp His love in a way that surpasses knowledge. We have to. It requires the Holy Spirit to move to get that, to get it. How much He loves you. You know what I'm constantly surprised by in my quiet times? I've been a Christian for over 30 years. I'm constantly surprised by every day that I spend time with God. I go and I will spend time with God, and it goes, you know, it usually starts out rough, and then it ends up really great, and then I feel great leaving that, and then I go throughout my day, and I have, you know, victories through the day, and defeats, and I screw up, and I have, you know, I do good things, and I struggle with thoughts like I shouldn't have, and I'm going through this battle, and then I go to bed, and I wake up the next day, and I go spend time with the Lord, and it's like every day I start out with my time with the Lord, it's always like, Lord, you know, and me going through this kind of, I know, Lord, I know I was really selfish with Debbie last night, and I said I wasn't bringing life with my words, and I was being selfish. Would you forgive me, Lord? And it's like going through, you know, kind of, you know, getting back to alignment with God. And then after I do that for a while, what I keep being surprised by is then I'll finally go, Lord, what do you want to talk about? And you know what He always says? Every time. He's like, Randy, I really love you. And I always go, what? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you do. Why is it so hard to hang on to that? And it melts me. It melts me. Requires a work of the Holy Spirit for you to grasp. It has to move in. His love for you has to move beyond knowledge to a place of grasping that's on a spiritual heart level that only the Holy Spirit can make it happen. And it changes everything. It begins to change you. It melts your heart. Would you like to grasp His love for you in a way that melts your heart? Would you like to grasp the depth and the height and the width and the breadth of His love for you this morning? Let's ask Him. Let's cry out to Him. Can we do that? Let's just do it right now. Okay? Let's just ask the Holy Spirit to do this, because that's what He empowers us to do. It requires a movement of the Holy Spirit, so let's ask Him to do it. Okay? So let's do it. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, and just make this the cry of your heart wherever you're at. Holy Spirit, would you come right now and show me, cause me to grasp beyond understanding how the Father loves me. Would you do a supernatural work? Holy Spirit, come for us. Lord, regardless of our past, Lord, the pride we're wrestling with, the anger, Lord, you are able to see past all that to who I really am. Lord, would you come right now and reveal your love, your heart? Would you let me taste it? Hear the Lord saying right now, I do love you. I do love you. You have no idea how much I love you. I know everything you've been wrestling with. And I'm bigger than that. I love you despite it. I just hear him saying, would you receive my love? So maybe in your heart you can just whisper to him, I receive your love. I open myself up to it. Holy Spirit moves and supernaturally empowers you, enables you to taste of God's love for you in a way that you're able to really grasp. And it moves in and it melts your heart. Once that happens and He fills you with that love, then He fills you with a supernatural love for Him back. And you start to experience love for Him, and then you start to experience love for others in a way that you can see them through His eyes instead of them annoying you. You can see who they really are, and it's like you start to become a weird person, like you'd sell your possessions to get resources to help other people. You have this love begins to pour out of you. And when He comes and he shows you how much He loves you, and you experience it and you actually grasp it, and then he fills you with love for others that you normally don't have, because it's a supernatural movement of His Spirit and you supernaturally experience that love for others, then you become filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. You become like Him. And you start leaking. When you become filled with His love for you and His love for others, you start leaking. You end up shedding a lot of tears. You start to cry. Jesus said, whoever drinks this water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Have you ever experienced the Spirit of God that made you well up? You didn't think he was talking about crying here, did you? You've read that before. I'm realizing I think that's what he's talking about. He's talking about tears. He's talking about your heart's moved and it starts leaking out. It's bubbling out, usually coming from your eyes. Someone recently said to me, by the way, when you begin to cry because you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you become very powerful. Someone said to me recently that that tears are an offensive weapon against Satan. He does not know what to do with them. He has absolutely no defense against tears. When you cry, and you cry out to the Lord, and you become moved by the Spirit, and you begin to let it come out. And John did not have this baptism of the Holy Spirit that Jesus would be bringing, and the resulting fullness of the Holy Spirit that was different from anything anybody had experienced before. And for that reason, the greatest of the Old Testament prophets could confess to Jesus, I need to be baptized by you. I need your baptism. And in the Bible, it seems to happen individually, and it seems to happen corporately. We see it individually in people's lives, and we see it corporately. Back to Acts 4, we talked about this last week, but this is a point where it happened corporately. Okay, where they raised their voices together in prayer to God. That's the first how-to in this section of Scripture, okay? How do I get that filling of the Spirit? How do I get that melting, transformational, welling up, causing me to love supernaturally others? How do I get that change in my heart? Because when I look at my heart, it feels like it's hard. It feels like it's hard to get there. I haven't cried for a long time. How do I get that? They raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Why do you think they started with that sentence? You made the heaven, the earth, the sea and everything in them. Why did they start their prayer there? Any ideas? Yeah. We're tapping into the source. We know the source and we acknowledge it. You want more filling of the Holy Spirit in your life? You want a heart like His? You want the fullness of Christ? You've got the source. You can tap into it. It's available to you. It's completely available. It's all there. Yes, sir. Like, I'm desperate for you, maybe. I think there's a lot more under what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. That's good. So they're subordinating themselves, but they're also talking about what He's capable of. You did all this. Now, Lord, they pray, consider their threats and enable your servants, because they were being threatened. If you speak in the name of Jesus, you're going to be punished. Consider their threats and enable your servants to speak the word of God with great boldness. This is a church full of people. I mean, this is a bunch of people. Have you ever prayed that? Enable me to speak your word with great boldness. Anybody here pray that prayer? God, I want you to fill me with boldness to tell people about you. I have not heard many Christians pray that. I've heard Christians pray, Lord, fill me with safety and a life where it's, you know, Satan's kept at bay. You know, maybe can you protect us and Lord, build a life of comfort around us. You know? But Lord, enable your servant to speak the word of God. Boy, this is Christianity. This is serious Christianity. Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand and heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Have you ever prayed that? Enable me to heal and perform miracles through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Why not pray that? Why wouldn't you pray that? Okay. I'll protect God and my paradigm of how things work by not praying that boldly because I don't want it shaken. What if it does happen? Now you got to do something with it. With great power, Spider-Man, comes great responsibility. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Corporately. Here's the crazy thing. Watch out. Watch what happens, guys. After they prayed, the place they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. All of them. And they spoke the word of God boldly. The movement of the Spirit comes down and it fills the entire group, and they are all changed. They're all welling up with tears because of the love they're experiencing and the love they have for others. They're changed, they're transformed, and they go out and they speak it boldly. A couple of years ago, we had I asked Matt Price to lead worship on a Sunday morning. We had a worship service. Some of you were here back then. It was an all-worship service, and we put a sign out there that said, "Enter in silently, please." And how any of you remember that? It was like 2 years ago. And it was, I mean, it was crazy because, and it was, there wasn't anything crazy, wild, special about it. It was just a normal worship, you know, and seeking the Lord, but there, it was unbroken. People were coming down here in the front, kneeling down, weeping, crying. I was down here. I was like, the Lord was in this place. And what you don't know, I've never really told anybody this, but because I'm a pastor, I get to be aware of a lot of different situations that are going on. You know, this marriage is struggling, or this person's dealing with depression, this person's struggling with this issue. I always got an anger thing or whatever, you know, and she's got an issue with stomach pain that she's always dealing with. And I meet with people all the time, and I talk through stuff with them, and we had that service. And for months afterward, I was meeting with people, you know, and I would get together with the person with the marriage issue. I'm like, "Hey, how's that going with you and your spouse?" And they're like, "Oh, yeah, you know what? I was at that service that they had where it was all worship thing, and it was like the Lord just spoke to my wife and spoke to me at like the same time, and we ended up like just something was broken. And our marriage was restored. And I can't explain it." And then another person was like, you know, I couldn't believe it. For months I was getting this like, "Oh yeah, I had that issue, but at that worship service, it was just gone. God like took it away. It was just healed or fixed or..." Yeah. When the Holy Spirit comes and fills us and He brings healing, right? Stretch out your hand to heal. Perform miraculous signs and wonders. Miraculous signs and wonders happen through this building. You know, there wasn't somebody standing up, "Okay, put your hand on the forehead and you're going to fall over." And, you know, that whole like the Southern accent, you know, "Be healed, brother." You know, none of that. It was the Lord came and healed marriages and relationships and physical things, and because the Holy Spirit came and was released. Happens corporately. So what resulted as the church cried out was they were filled with the Spirit, and they went out and they proclaimed the Word of God boldly, and quiet housewives become neighborhood Bible study leaders and go door to door and invite people who don't know Christ to their house, and they have a Bible study, and now 20 women are meeting every week because of a gal at Adventure that's doing that since that time. Janitors find ways to reach deaf and blind in the Philippines. A mother of teenagers starts a movement to end human trafficking in our region. And huge meetings are taking place all over. All that stuff's going on as a result. They went out and preached the word boldly. So we've talked weekly about the vision God has given us to raise up an army, this Ezekiel 37 passage. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. This is the end of that passage. We talk about this a lot now. And he prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds, O breath, talking about the Spirit, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. That's been the vision that God has given us for the next chapter of Adventure Church. And as we have been exploring this vision and what God is saying, what's unfolded is we realize the army must be filled with the Holy Spirit. The army must be anointed by the Holy Spirit. I mean, we can prop up dead people and put weapons in their hands and make it look like they're there, which the church does all the time. Set them on the walls, and that might frighten, you know, an advancing army that sees the silhouettes on the wall. But it's not going to go in and take territory. We have to have people who are alive and filled with the love of God and empowered by the Spirit of God with love for others that's radical. Like, sell your possessions so you have resources to love more. Kind of love. Kind of Christianity. Kind of anointing. We need to seek the filling of the Spirit of God. And once we have that, then watch out. It will change the world. And then it's funny because I've said that. I've had people come up to me and say, so Randy, I know, like, we're supposed to build this army and it's going to be, you know, but then once we have this army, like, what's our mission? And I'm like, I thought I was clear, you know? Obviously not. But so I want to reiterate it to you. Here's what I believe God's been saying. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. That's Satan. Satan, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks, you, filled with the Spirit, overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoils. Our mission is to take away Satan's armor and to divide up his spoils. The spoils of Satan are the kingdom of darkness as it exists in our own hearts and minds, the paradigms, the things we've believed that are false, that are of the kingdom of darkness in our own lives and in the lives of the people around us. And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you get spiritually empowered to see the kingdom of darkness in others. You can see the ground that they've taken. Like, the Spirit actually enables you to see through a short conversation with them all the different darkness that they believe and are living under. Now, the worst thing you can do is say, you have an agreement with Satan. You are under the kingdom of darkness. That is called not having tact, okay? That may be true, but you want to share that in a way that's a lot less like, I said that actually, I'm, that's an agreement with Satan. And the reaction was, the person was angry. Like, I was calling them a failure. Right? it may be true that it's an agreement with Satan, but you want to get at that in a... We need some tact and some training to get at that so we don't tell them that they're failing. That's what it means that's our job. Our mission is to divide the spoils. We've been given authority and dominion, and it's the filling of the Holy Spirit that enables us and empowers us to do the mission. Okay, so I want to give you an Old Testament parallel just by way of illustration. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, there's this thing where Paul says that when the children of Israel crossed through the Red Sea, you know, the whole Charlton Heston, like, in the walls of water went up, remember that? And how have you seen that movie? Some of you? You know, and they passed through the Red Sea. Paul says that they were baptized into Moses. That was a baptism of Moses, which is a very obscure passage in Scripture, and I've always kind of scratched my head about it. But now I think I'm kind of getting it. they moved through that water, and they were sort of baptized into the law mode. They're going into an era of obeying the law, and between the Red Sea and the Jordan River, how many years was that when they were traveling? Anybody know? Huh? It's about, 40 years, okay? And so during that time, there were other armies that came after them to attack them, and pretty much they were having to do the battle on their own steam. I mean, there's this great scene where Moses is holding up his hands as a picture of interceding in prayer. And when his hands are up, the Israelites are winning the battle. You know, and then when he's tired, he's getting tired and he's coming down, you know, and then they're losing the battle. And then they're like, and then they're pushing up his arms. It's a wonderful picture of human effort to win the battle. Okay? Then they get to the Jordan, and God splits that apart, and they cross into the Promised Land. A wonderful picture of the new covenant. Now you have the Holy Spirit filling you. And if you notice the battles after that, I want you to march around the city 7 times and blow a trumpet. The walls come down because of supernatural power. And you know what they had to do after that? Divide the spoils. They walked on in. Another passage, 2 Chronicles 20, they put the choir in front of the army, worshiping God. You know, that God inhabits the praise of His people. So they're worshiping God, and when they finally get to the battle, does anybody remember what happened? The enemy armies had turned on each other and killed each other, and it said, and so Israel was days pillaging the bodies, dividing the spoils. See the picture? When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not having to do all the work. You walk filled in the Spirit. You allow the Holy Spirit to fill you with His love for you and His love for others. You seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's going to do the transformation, just like that scene here at Adventure where it was just all worship. Now, if I were going to take those people that I normally would meet with and go, let's talk through the issues with your marriage, and let's talk through this issue with depression, let's talk through these things, I would spend hour upon hour working with that person to help them work through that. But instead, with one worship service, the Holy Spirit comes and does the work. See what I'm filling in the Spirit's why it's important? The army needs to be filled with the Spirit. That's why the breath of God, come. Fill these dead bones, these dry bones. Fill them. We need the filling of the Holy Spirit. Desperately need the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, what if the children of Israel had crossed the Jordan River and they went, this is a nice spot. There's beach here, beachfront on the river. Let's set up and live right here and not go into the Promised Land and sort of take over, which was their mission. Remember, because God had given it to Abraham, and then the famine, they took him out, they, you know, grew into a nation in Egypt, and then they came back, and their mission was to take over the Promised Land, which is just like ours. God gave us the territory, gave us the world. We walked away from God. and ended up being now the kingdom of darkness, and now our mission is to go back in and take it back for the kingdom of God. What if they would have gone, you know, let's just hang by the river. You know, let's not move in. They would have missed the purpose for crossing in the first place. Right? Their enemies would still own the land, and they would not have taken it back. Listen to this. Contentment short of God's purposes would have meant having to learn to live with the enemy. Contentment to live short of God's purposes would have meant having to learn to live with the enemy, which is what it's like for a believer who experiences the Holy Spirit initially. They have a God moment. They have a life-changing experience in their life, and they make a mental monument. Okay? They build a little temple around it, and it's like, that was so awesome. I remember those days when God moved and God spoke. That was so cool. If it never goes beyond that initial experience, it's far from the life we were meant to live. And when we become satisfied apart from God's ultimate purpose of filling us with His fullness and bringing dominion, we end up learning to tolerate living in the presence of the enemy in some area of our life. I don't want great memories of God moving and anointing. I want to walk in it. I don't want a mental memorial, a mental monument. I want more of God. I want the filling of His Spirit. I want more anointing of the Holy Spirit in my life. More of the manifest presence of God. I want more tears because of His love. I want to see people healed and their hearts broken and hope restored and God's kingdom to advance in our midst. And so I asked the Lord this week, I'm like, Lord, how? How can we be more filled with Your Spirit as a church? How can I be more filled with Your Spirit as a person? And He said this. He said, Randy, my presence and my anointing are a result of You seeking my face, crying out to me, aligning Yourself with me. And He said, the wind blows wherever it pleases. When I said that about the Holy Spirit, I meant to say that my spirit is mysterious. The supernatural is beyond the natural. It's superior to the natural, far superior. The unseen realm has a profound impact on the seen realm, not the opposite. And then He said, Randy, walking in my spirit is learning to dial into it, learning to see behind the situation and cry out to me, ask me, invite me to reveal what's going on. Here's how you know if you're experiencing my spirit. Okay, do you want to know if you're experiencing the Spirit of God? Here's what He told me. Here's how you can know. One, do you have tears? Tears of conviction, tears of love, tears of joy, tears of hope. Are you moved? When you are, my spirit has moved. Two, does your heart feel softened and melted by my tender love for you? When you do, my spirit has moved. Three, do you feel overwhelming love for others welling up within you? When you do, my spirit has moved. Do you feel boldness to speak out for me and bring my love and truth to others? When that happens, my spirit has moved. And do you see them, Randy, as I see them, and therefore find yourself willing to sell your belongings to meet their needs? When that happens, my spirit has moved and my kingdom has come. Does that list encourage you or discourage you? It made me want to cry out to God. Because I knew I don't have those tears that I don't feel that being moved. I don't feel the kind of love he's talking about. Not in a way that I would want to sell my stuff so I could go do more for people. But I want it. I want it. I want more of God. I want more of the Spirit. I want His Spirit to move and fill me and melt me and bring tears. I want to leak. And it's not something you can make happen. If you feel like me and you want more, I want more of God. I want this filling of the Spirit. If you want that, if you're hearing this and you're going, I want more of that, my advice to you is, I don't know what to tell you to do. There's no, like, do this. Because He has to move. It can't be manufactured by you in any way. All you can do is cry out to Him. And so the end of the thing was, Lord, how can I have this? And He said, call out, cry out, pursue me, align with me, submit to me, draw near to me. And then He said this, do you think me stingy? Do you think me stingy? And God doesn't usually ask me questions unless He knows that there's something rooted there in my heart. I'm like, yeah, I think you're withholding the movement, the power of your Spirit. And I had to repent of that wicked belief because His heart's not like that. So this week, last couple weeks, I've just been crying out every day, I want more. Would you fill me with your Spirit? Would you fill me with a heart like yours? Would you fill me with tears, Lord? Would you cause it to bubble out? And I've cried more this week than I have in a long time. It's interesting because I kind of expected when I asked the question, you know, Lord, you know, how do I know if your Spirit, if I'm experiencing the filling of your Spirit? I kind of expected Him to say, well, when you see people being physically healed, or when you see this particular kind of spiritual gift, or that kind of spiritual gift. It was none of that. It was all about the melting of your heart. I like that. I like that. I think when your heart's melted, all that other stuff comes. But it's not going to come unless our heart's melted. So Haven's going to come up right now, and God inhabits the praise of His people. He comes. The choir led the army, and they worshiped. And they did not give lip service. If you read that passage, I mean, these people are crying out in worship to God. In 2 Chronicles 20, they are pouring out their hearts in worship. And worship is me expressing my affection to God. It's me saying, I love you. I want you more. Come. You know, it's me pouring out my heart. And then He responds to your heart. And He inhabits the praise of His people. And so if you want more, we're going to have an opportunity to just pour out our hearts to the Lord and worship and invite Him to come and fill this place with the Spirit. I'm going to pray and just invite His Spirit to come. And move. Would you stand with me and pray with me? Thank you, brother. Sorry about that. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, come. Lord, would you, this can feel like taking someone by the hand and leading them upstream in a rushing river and trudging against the current. Lord, would you by your Spirit right now turn the current around and move us upstream, up the mountain to you. Holy Spirit, fall in this place. We want it to be shaken. Would you shake this ground, Jesus?